party for the teacher.
Welcome to Crossroads Fellowship. Whether a member or a visitor, it's no accident you're here. It's a great day, a day the Lord has made, a day we can rejoice and be glad in. So please rise for our call to worship.
Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred to us the kingdom of his beloved Son. Praise to Christ in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We lift up the name of Jesus, for he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation.
For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Oh, take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. Stand in awe of your name, your mighty love. Stand strong to the end, you will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me, you will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. All to Jesus now, all to Jesus now, holding nothing back, holding nothing back. I surrender, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken.
Good to be in the house of the Lord together as we worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit this morning. We also want to welcome our guests who are with us for representing Freedom for Youth. And we're going to hear a bit about Freedom for Youth before the sermon, and then afterwards you're invited to a fuller presentation with a meal. And again, as the invitation goes, if you didn't bring any food, join us. There's enough for you. I bet you're wondering what I was going to say, right? If you didn't bring enough food, join us. If you are a visitor this morning, join us for the meal. And we have a gift for you, a water bottle, at the entranceway with some information about our church. And again, as the invitation stands, you're always welcome to contact me for coffee if you want to know more about what we believe and who we are as a CRC church in the Des Moines area. Let me extend to you our Lord's greeting, and then we're going to greet one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Would you greet each other?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Where is Dryce?
I've heard a thousand stories of one they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. Good, good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. So undeniable, I can hardly speak. He's so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. Your good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives your sins and heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, worship your holy name. Draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Our call to confession and our prayer of confession this morning is responsive. From 1 John 1. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So this will be a prayer with your eyes open. We're going to pray our prayer of confession, which is also responsive. God of grace, we confess that we have elevated the things of the world above You.
We may have our possessions and used Your name for causes
that are not consistent with Your We have permitted our schedules to come first, and we have not taken the time to worship you. We have participated in systems that take life instead of give it. We have yearned for and sometimes taken that which is not ours, and we have misrepresented others' intentions. Help us learn to live together according to your ways through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's silently confess our sins to God. Based on Isaiah chapter 40, receive this assurance of pardon. Surely he, Jesus, he has borne our griefs and he's carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. And with his stripes, we are healed. He will feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs into his arms. Praise be to our God. So this time I want to invite the children to be dismissed for children in worship. Follow the flag. And as the kids are headed out, we have a short video that will be played for Freedom for Youth. And once the video is finished, Jess will come up and talk a little bit about that. So if we could get the video going.
Freedom for Youth Ministries empowers youth across Iowa through the love of Jesus Christ to break bondages, discover their God-given talents, and lead transformed lives. We provide after-school programs for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Our programs include free time, tutoring, skills classes, and Bible lessons. Above all, our goal is to share the love of Jesus with every student that we serve. Currently, Freedom for Youth exists in 8 Iowa counties. We have youth centers located in Des Moines, Carlisle, Huxley, Knoxville, Mitchellville, Perry, Stewart, and Winterset. We hope to continue our statewide outreach by planting more Freedom Centers in other rural communities in Iowa. Freedom Blend Coffee is an employment training center for young adults. Here, we hire young people ages 16 to 25 and help them prepare for future employment. With guidance from shop managers, individuals will sharpen their skills in customer service, coffee roasting, and culinary arts. Freedomland Coffee not only provides a space where young people can grow in their professional development and walk with Christ, it's also a place where people from all over find community with each other.
All right. Thank you for having us here this morning. We're very excited to share more about Freedom for Youth and its mission across the state of Iowa. Like Pastor said, my name is Jessica, and I am the statewide manager at Freedom for Youth, and I've been with Freedom for going on 8 years now. So it's been pretty amazing to see God work in volunteers' lives, the church, and the students these past 8 years. So like the video said, Freedom for Youth's mission is to empower youth to break bondages, discover their God-given talents, and lead transformed lives. And I always say one of the beautiful things about Freedom is that we are relying on the church to carry out this mission. We are calling on the church for this, to step out across denominational lines and come together for one cause, to love these kids into God's kingdom, to tell them that they matter and that they were made on purpose for a purpose. And so Freedom for Youth, like you saw in the video, has programs from kindergarten all the way age up to 26. And so we start with our elementary program, which is called Wiz Kids. And Wiz Kids has a Bible time, there's free time, there's a game, and then there's small groups, really starting to build those healthy relationships with volunteers and adults. And then Discovery is our middle school program that we get into. And with Discovery, like in the name, they're starting to discover, what did God wire me to do? What do I like to do? Not only maybe for an occupation someday, but for a hobby. What skills and talents do I have? And for volunteers, we ask, what do you have that you like to do that maybe you could come and share with a small group? And so Journey is our high school program. And like in the name again, we're just helping them journey through their high school years and come up with a plan. When they graduate, one, helping them graduate, but then when they graduate, do they have a plan for success? Whether that is going into the work field or continuing their education somewhere. So each one of our programs at Freedom for Youth focus on what we call the FEEL acronym. So faith, education, employment, and leadership. So faith being that number one component, sharing that life-changing message of Jesus Christ with every youth that walk through the door each and every program. So it amazes me. Did you guys know that there are youth throughout Iowa that have never heard of Jesus, that don't know who Jesus is and what he has done for them in their lives? And we really come across this in our rural communities as we start up different locations. So our goal at Freedom is really to reach the unchurched youth and plug them back into the local church here. And a really cool thing is the youth are sharing this truth that they discover with their families and their loved ones. So an example in Newton, we actually just launched a site in Newton this month. And one of our beginning lessons is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And we say, okay, personalize this for you. For God so loved blank so much. Put your name in it. But then stop and think of who in your life needs to hear about this truth of Jesus, how much God loves them. So the kids stopped and they put someone's name in there. And then at the end of program, I was able to see this young boy who gave one of these pieces of paper with his mom's name in it. And his mom, you know, was in tears and just overwhelmed that her son would pick her to share this truth with. And so it's things like that that are happening, empowering these young ones to go out and then share the love of Jesus with others. So faith being first and foremost of what we do. Education. We want these youth to value education and learning. So in elementary, we have a reading program that they do. So weekly for half hour, volunteers come and read with these elementary kids. And we want them to learn to love reading too. And this, we want to make sure they're reading on level. And so we partner with the schools to make sure, you know, what level are they reading at and how can we make sure by the end of the year or in a few years, they're reading on level so we can set them up for success. And then high school, preparing them for future education. Like I said, when they graduate, we want to make sure that they have a plan when crossing that stage. Employment. You guys saw some of our employment training with Freedom Blend Coffee. And then another exciting one is Freedom Construction Services. So that will be coming up in the next few years where students 18 to 25 years old will be able to learn more about the trades and how to work with their hands and, again, discovering what they like to do, but then also building those soft skills to be successful in the workplace. And again, this goes into our skills, figuring out what the students are interested in. Do you guys have a skill or a talent that you want to come and share with these students so that light bulb moment can go off and say, oh, I could do this someday. And then leadership, become and know servant leaders. You know, we would love if our students went from our elementary program to middle school to high school and then came all the way back around and started volunteering again, or maybe working, having my job someday, having the executive director's job someday. That would be a goal for us to have. So I want to ask you guys, as you watch the video, what caught your attention? What did God put on your heart? Maybe God's been pressing on your heart to go beyond these walls on Sunday and serve and give. And Freedom for Youth is here to empower you guys as you feel called to serve. So there is a mission field in our own backyard, and you are invited to join God in this mission in reaching the next generation. So there are many, many ways to get involved with Freedom for Youth. If you come up to our table at the end or at the luncheon, we can discuss more of how to volunteer, whether that's, you know, directly with the youth, serving a meal, or a work group, but then financially too. So Freedom for Youth is supported by churches and individuals. We accept no government funding, so we don't compromise sharing the gospel of Jesus with the youth. But then visit our coffee shop too. We would love to buy you a cup of coffee and sit down at Freedom Blend Coffee. So we look forward to meeting you. We'd love to meet you and talk about kind of what God's laid on your heart. So thank you very much.
I think our offering as a church next week is for Freedom for Youth. And I learned more in that 7 minutes than I ever knew about Freedom for Youth. I just thought they made good mochas on Hickman. Or as one elder accidentally said, freedom from youth, and that's not what we're doing. It's freedom for youth. So he caught his error real quick. Thank you, Jessica. And then again, afterwards, we'll hear a little bit more. If you have some questions, bring your questions afterwards about the ministry, the work they do, and again, how we can be involved individually and as a church. We're going to continue our study this morning in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Again, I would hope you would have your Bibles open. If not, you can follow along on the screen when I get to the text here shortly. Let me pray before we do. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Philippians. We thank you, Lord, for Paul's writing to this church, encouragement in the faith to stand solidly upon your word as your word is being written, and to address conflict in the church and to live for you in all things. And I pray that prayer for us as well, Lord God, that we would just have a deep-seated passion for you, Jesus. Without that, Lord, it's just the motions, and Lord, we do pray for passion for you. Fan that flame that you've placed in us, and we pray this in your name. Amen. We were driving to school the other day, and one of my daughters asked the question, is it a sin to worry? I'm like, we got 2 minutes before we get to school, and that's how far away we live. How do I answer that in 2 minutes? So then my other daughter answered this way real quickly. Matthew 6:34, she said, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I'm like, boom. There's the half a minute answer. I mean, you know the section of Matthew. Let me just read the full context, these words of Jesus for us. If you don't know the section, you should. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God. This is the key here. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. I mean, that therefore is huge, isn't it? It's everything that just came before. This is who God is. This is who we are. And the question is it a sin to worry? Well, I mean, all throughout Scripture, we have encouragement not to worry, commands not to worry. And ultimately, if worry is not trusting God, worry is sin. And so I kind of made that statement before we got to school, and then the answer was, well, now I'm worrying about my worrying. I'm like, no! No, no. Then I'm worrying about her worrying about her worrying. Like, no. That's how anxiety works when we're not trusting God. So that's the opposite. It's a fight we're in, right? There's a spiritual battle on many levels that happens. Part of our fight is a fight for faith. We fight for faith when we seek God with the faith he's given us and entrust our lives to him. We have joy. That's the outcome. One of the outcomes. It's not the only outcome. Anxiety and joy do not exist together. It's impossible. They can exist one for a little time, one for a little time, back and forth, but together at the same time, they don't exist. Not in the things of God, anyway. And so we come to our section of Philippians this morning, again, not detached from everything else that we've said to this point. If you remember last week, we talked about Paul applying the theology he's been teaching to Yodia and Syntyche, and there was one guy in our Bible study who wasn't here last Sunday, and I talked about Yodia and Syntyche. He's like, did you just preach about Yoda? Is that what you said? Like, so if you weren't here, read back a little bit after the service. So now we move forward after Paul dealing with the conflict in the church, and he says this beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say, again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. There's a list: true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. If there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We're dealing with issues internally, aren't we? Think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Right away, I think of Paul's command to take every thought captive, right, as we battle this fight for faith. And when we take thoughts captive, those thoughts that either come from our own sin or the enemy, how do we take them captive? Well, we replace them with something else. And Paul gives us this huge list here of things to replace those thoughts with. I want to say at this point, this is a significant passage for me. I've preached on it here before, actually, when I first started. It's a very different sermon. The last sermon I preached on this passage had to do with an experience of this passage, which shaped and molded me towards the ministry. As a matter of fact, I talked about my aunt and uncle who lost their daughter, and this is the passage that came up in our conversation. And it's just significant in my life and ministry and seeing what God did in it. They had just lost their daughter. Just to recap a little bit, if you remember that sermon, just quoting, "Do not be anxious about everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." And I'm like, I believe that, and they're grieving, and we prayed this, and my uncle's response was, "I feel waves of peace." And I'm like, "You do? Of course you do." You know? But my first thought was, "You do? Like, this isn't just good suggestion. This isn't positive thinking." Right? There's positive thinking in this. That's not what this is, though. This is God at work in his people. And that was a foundational moment for me. Actively seeing God move in my aunt and uncle's life days after they lost their daughter because of this section of Scripture, his Holy Spirit at work. This is significant to me. Rodell read this as devotion a couple months, 2 months ago for a council. And It just hits me. I love this section with tears. You know what that feels like? I want to unpack this a bit. And the way I'm going to do this morning, I want to lay out the general idea of what Paul's saying, and then I want to list six applications from this section of how we can apply what Paul is saying here. Battling unbelief with joy in Christ. That's how I'll set the stage. Battling unbelief with joy in Christ. Again, what was happening at the church in Philippi? So we know what's happening here. Paul calls on the church to rejoice in the Lord, to be reasonable with everyone, to not be anxious. We understand these things. We understand the commands, but they're difficult to apply. We know that. And so here you have this conflict between these two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, and again, we don't know what their conflict was. We know it boiled over into the church. It was causing division among the church. Paul calls on his companion, his unnamed companion. Remind them who they are. That's what we talked about last week. Remember who you are. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Before the foundations of the world, remember who you are. You know, the application from the text, Euodia and Syntyche, you're going to be in heaven together forever. Figure this thing out. And our applications are not much different. In our division, in our grievances. Let me just hop back and read that section. Paul wrote this, "I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord, yet I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life." So he's just taking them step by step back. They're in the fellowship. They labored with us in the gospel. Remind them of that. Their names are written in the book of life. Point them back to Jesus so they can have joy, right? Reconciliation, joy. And for whatever reason, it does appear their disagreement was kind of tearing the church apart. Remind them who they are. When we're reminded who we are in Christ, it does redirect our eyes. Turns our eyes back to Jesus, and when we're looking upon Jesus, it changes our thinking, and Paul's dealing with thinking here. If we're focusing on the right thing, we're going to think the right way. So building off of what Paul wrote, I mean, we could merely say God is after right thinking, and that would be a Reformed error. That's where we often err. Get this thing thought right. But thinking right looks like something. It does. It has to. There's application for what it looks like. And one of the applications is yodi and sinishe, reconcile. Paul says, think on these things and let it flow out of your life. It'll kill anxiety. It'll kill worry. It'll create joy. It looks like something. Now, you know, and I can ask, don't raise your hand, who here struggles to have a joy-filled life, you know? And we have different temperaments, different personalities. I find myself mostly optimistic and happy, but I do love the rain and folk music, and that's a bad combination. But now that I've had kids, that's kind of turned into Barbie, Disney, and Animaniacs, and no time for that introspection with the folk music, I guess, you know? But yeah, I have a tendency that way. You know, the fall hasn't left anything untouched. We now have two dogs. That's funny. The fall has left nothing untouched. We now have two dogs. I can't complain about this new one because it was my idea. But it's the first one that is just filled with anxiety. This dog is so anxious. It's just ridiculous. She's nervous, suspicious. And we have to clip her nails and we can't do it because she's so nervous and suspicious. She gets crazy. So we're trying to clip her nails, and I'm like, I'm done with this dog. Let's sell the dog. And then Kara's like, oh, I'm mad at the dog, too. Then the kids are like, don't sell the dog. Like, the dog's anxiety has made our home crazy. It's just the way it works. You know, anxiety does that. It's like dominoes. You know, even dealing with each other. We affect each other. We're not isolated. We send ripples out. What was happening in the church in Philippi? One lady was mad at another, and the dominoes were falling, if you will. Anxiety, anger, probably mistrust, gossip, backbiting. And Paul's like, no, this is not the church. This is not what God has in store for you. Not a joyless, suspicious place. That is not what he has in store. So Paul's like, well, this is what he has in store. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Not just yodi and sinice. Everybody, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. You know, if there's joy to be found any place in 2019, you've read some of these sleep studies, you know, just the anxiety in the culture, people having problems sleeping, you know, it might be related to some of the blue lights on our screens, I don't know, but the anxiety's so high. If there is rest and joy to be found, like, it better be here. Might people find it here with each other? So let me break this down now. In V1 commentary, I want to use 6 points to understand what Paul's saying. So I have a little sheet in there. You can fill in the blanks of these points. What will result in joy when we apply Paul's words here by the Spirit's work in us? First and foremost, we have this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, we have 3 parts to this statement. We have rejoice, we have the object of rejoicing, the Lord, and we have always. Rejoice, the Lord, always. And we're like, yeah, rejoice, I get it. The Lord, we know him. Always, no way. How does that happen? I mean, it sounds like a good plan, but it sounds unrealistic. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let me just say here, like, this is maybe the thesis of the rest of the points. Division in the church, yoda sinice, here's the theology I've laid out. Paul, you know, just laying the stuff out. Rejoice in the Lord always. He's like, let me show you how to do this, and that's what we're going to do. But before we get there, I love our statements that teach. We have our 3 forms of unity. Presbyterians have the Westminster, which would be like our Heidelberg comparative Q&A. I want to read 3 questions and answers from the Heidelberg, just how it from the Westminster, just how it begins. From our Presbyterian friends, here's the 3 most important questions that begin the shorter catechism. What is the chief end of man? And the answer is man's chief end is to glorify God. Yeah, we know that. and to enjoy him forever. Well, that's interesting. But that's what we're made for, right? To glorify God, yes, he's made us as worshipers. And when we're focused on him, it changes our thinking and we enjoy him. And we have joy, and that joy spreads. Well, number two, the Westminster says this. What rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him? How do we do this? And the answer is this. The word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him. The only rule for faith and life, right? There are a lot of competitors out there. Define your morality by this. Define your foundation, your presuppositions by this. And God's like, no, it's scripture, the only rule. That's where you find out how to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Finally, number three in the Westminster says this. What do the scriptures principally teach? And the answer, the scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. So if I were to sum up the greatest problem compared to point number one, rejoice in the Lord always, and what the Westminster just said there, the greatest problem, like I've said over and over since the fall, is idolatry. Idolatry, trying to make God in our own image, bowing down to things that aren't God and who God tells us he is, but making gods out of things that ultimately let us down. If I were to restate that in a little simpler form, what is the greatest challenge we face today? We are too easily pleased. Someone might say, well, isn't that contentment? Shouldn't we be content? No, I'm saying like binging on Netflix is good enough for some of us. YouTube stream after YouTube stream, like that is good enough. We are just far too easily pleased. We're like, any pleasure will do. And then it doesn't, right? It lets us down, miserable, lonely, because we've forgotten our chief end. We've forgotten to keep our eyes focused on Christ first and foremost. And we wonder where the joy is gone. Why do I have anxiety? Why can't I sleep? We're too easily pleased. All right, fine. Rejoice in the Lord always. What else, Paul? What else do you have for the church? That brings me to number two. Be gentle, reasonable with everyone. Here's some of the internal laughs here. Some of us like to debate. I do as well. And you can be gentle and reasonable even in debate. Just consider the person you're talking to. But what does Paul mean here in the statement, be gentle, reasonable with everybody? Again, he's calling them specifically away from conflict, which is killing joy in the church, back to focusing on Jesus as their first love, their first passion. Be gentle, reasonable with everyone. So the translation of this Greek word, epiakos, is either reasonable or it's either gentleness. I found it in four other verses and it was translated gentleness, but I think here reasonableness or gentleness is sufficient. It's fine. What does it mean to be reasonable with other people? Yodia, Sineshe, you guys are arguing. I don't know what it's about you, but be reasonable, be gentle with each other. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then we ask ourselves, who are we not being reasonable with? Who is it in the church that you just can't wait to hammer? You know, that's what we talked about last week. Bring in the Reformed hammer. Not being gentle. Some of you are asking, what does that even mean? I mean, you've never practiced this. I think it means, if we were to flip back to Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this. Just hear these words. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you have this by his Spirit, who though was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see what Paul does here? Look at yourself. Look at those we're relating with. Look at Jesus. This is who he is. This is what he's done. And it changes everything, right, if we change our focus of what we're looking at. I mean, in our world of individualism, trying to get ahead at the cost of anybody around you, to climb the corporate ladder, oftentimes stepping on people, Paul's like, no, lift people up. Help them forward. As you move forward, help others forward. I mean, if you want joy in the Lord, if I want joy in the Lord, are there those in our life that we're not being reasonable with, that we're not practicing the golden rule with, right? In fulfillment of the law, to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. It's the others part in here we oftentimes struggle with. But I'll say, if we're not getting even the first part right of loving God, we're not going to love others as ourselves. So Paul says, be gentle, reasonable with everyone. Let's go to number three. So this is the phrase I started with, talking about my aunt and uncle, my niece, and Rodell's devotion 2 months ago. Do not be anxious about anything. Again, we say, yeah, easier said than done. Like my daughter, I have anxiety about her having anxiety about her own anxiety. Like, it's a weird world. It's cyclical. We affect each other. But it all has to do with what we're trusting. Is our faith in God? Is he who he says he is? Will he finish what he started in us? Does he care for us really more than the birds of the air or the flowers of the field? Is this true? And I think of my uncle. I feel waves of peace. I'm like, man, yeah, that's true. This is true too. Honestly, I think the second part of this verse is the more challenging part. The Lord is at hand. That'd be the first part of this verse. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord is at hand. Now, that's a difficult phrase, actually, in this section. It's difficult in the sense that it can mean two different things. It can mean the Lord is at hand right now. He's with you every moment, every hour. He knows all your thoughts before you think them. He knows what's done in secret. He knows what's done in public. You can't escape God. He's very present right now. The Lord is at hand. He knows all the challenges in your life, all the joys, all the sorrows. You cannot escape his hand. You cannot hide from him. So it can mean that. It can mean the Lord is at hand right now. But it can also mean the Lord is coming soon. I mean, what do our worries in life amount to in this brief, brief life? I mean, brief, right? And we don't think about the brevity of life. It is so brief. We are almost there, almost face to face with Jesus, unless he comes back before our time. And I think about the stuff that gets us in this life. So we picked up a used SUV. We want to go camping. We're going to try something different as a family to camp. And I like to buy vehicles with dents and scratches. And so it had a few, but here I am, first time on the highway. Truck in front of me, this big rock falls off the back of it. I'm literally watching it, boom, boom. I cannot swerve to the left, and I cannot swerve to the right. Don't hit the windshield. First time on the highway, literally. Boom, right in the hood. So I spent a couple hours trying to work that dent out, consuming my mind. Like, I must be a little OCD. I don't know. The other two dents I don't care about, but that one I do. What in the world? So God is sovereign over a rock. My life is brief. It's consumed my mind. And I'm thinking, think about the stuff that's happened in the church the last few months, even our church. Sickness of children. Cancer of a parent. On and on we could go. Think globally now. Currently, this week and last week, Christian villages on edge because Christians are being wiped out in parts of Africa. Just being slaughtered. This passage wasn't written for a dent in a truck, but it kind of was, but it wasn't, right? These things we worry about, these things that cause anxiety and fear, and people living right now, am I going to make it through the Sabbath? Is my child going to be okay? Am I going to be okay through these treatments? And on and on. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But he doesn't stop there. I've already started the next part of what he says. He says, but in everything. Look at the verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray and thank God in everything. So again, Paul invites his companion, help Euodia and Syntyche refocus, help them to look upon Christ. Pray and thank God in everything. Help them remember who they are. Turn their conflict back into rejoicing together. Help them fight the good fight together. Slay the dragon together like we talked about last week. Slay that dragon of division. When we bring our requests to God, what happens? When we bring our prayers to God. Some people will say, you know, prayer is just for us, not for God. I'm going to say that's not necessarily what the Bible says. Prayer is for us. We're reminded who God is. He's sovereign. Sovereign over our lives, sovereign over everything. Sovereign over the molecules in this room, holding the chairs together by his word. All things hold together, Paul says in Colossians. We are reminded who God is. We're reminded of the sacrifice that he paid on the cross, purchasing us by his blood. We're reminded that our names are written in the book of life. We're reminded who the church is, gathered together, called into fellowship. So it does refocus, it does change us. But God does indeed answer prayer as well. Hear the second part here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when I preached this last time, that's where I spent my time because the wording is military wording here. The peace of God to you, and we're focusing on Christ, bringing our requests to him, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And that word for guard is the image of a centurion walking the wall of an ancient city. Guarding the city, walking back and forth, protecting the people in it, keeping watch of who's attacking or if there's calm. There is a centurion placed to guard the city, and God's like, I'm going to be that for you. I'm going to guard your hearts and your minds like a Roman soldier walking the wall. That is awesome, isn't it? And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is the point. It's who we are. That's where we're safe in life and in death. It's him who we belong to. It's a beautiful picture. What happens when you think about that? Like, that just dispels fear, right? God is guarding my heart and my mind. I can think about the right things now. I don't have to get consumed about the small things that turn me away from Jesus and against each other. And I need to wrap this up. Let's go to number five. We're now able to think upon the right things because of the work of God in us. Thinking is important. We know if we become discontent in our thinking, we become angry, jealous, worried. But when God calms and refocuses us, he changes our thinking, And then we read this. Finally, brothers, verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. God guards and protects us, turns our eyes to him, and he's like, here's what you need to think about. Fill your minds with this. This is part of God guarding us. One author I like to read makes the statement that we need to quit our stinking thinking. You know what that means. We have habits. If you know any of the stats on habits, you know how long it takes to build a habit, you know how long it takes to break a habit. Some of our habits are stinking thinking. Let's make a new habit. Consider verse 8, make that your habit. It might take 20 days, might take 60 days, practice it. Holy Spirit is at work in you, both the will and to act according to his good purpose. He'll make this habit happen. That is the way to joy. Let me go to the last one here. Kind of flying through these last ones here. Put all these things into regular practice. So verse 9, Paul writes, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So again, we have just the consistency. Be regular in them. Fight the good fight of faith that leads to joy. Focus on Christ. Turn others' focus back to Christ. It leads to right thinking as the Holy Spirit works in us. Practice these things. These spiritual habits, these spiritual disciplines, dealing with worry and anxiety, anger and infighting, learning instead to take joy in God. Let me close with this here. One author said this in my studies. Joy in Jesus is not optional. It's not. It's something we have to pursue. Joy in Jesus is not optional. Last week, I met again with Matt McClure, and he's the Resonate rep. And so when the church was vacant, and the church went through the study and answered some questions, and so Matt McClure is the rep now, just got the paperwork, actually, and I went through some of the questions and answers that the church asked about, you know, our weaknesses and the things that we want to focus on. And some of them were kind of all over the board, but in our discussion, there's one thing that stood out that kind of summed up all of those questions. We want a joy for Jesus. We want a joy in Christ. We just desire it, and we're not sure how to get there. We want a deeper relationship with others and with God and our mission statement objectives. But on the action statements, it's like, I want joy in Christ. There are many things we can look at in this world, many offers of joy for us. But if it's not Jesus, we're idolaters who are far too easily pleased. So I can gladly say it's already been the focus of my ministry and will continue to be, is to fight for joy in myself and for you in Jesus. Might we take to heart these six things we talked about this morning? Might they define our lives personally and as a church as we seek our joy in Christ? Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you that there is no one greater than you. You are not one of multiple gods whom we choose. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You are the reason for our existence. You are the definer of our life. And I thank you again this morning for reminding us of that, Lord. Might we walk with our eyes focused on you and joy extended to each other here at work, at home, at all times and in all places, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Our offering this morning is for the General Fund for Christian Education. As the offering's taken, if we could pass our friendship folders to see who's with us this morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the offering that was taken here. We thank you for the deacons who administer the funds, Lord, the work that you've given them to do and caring and for the needs of the church. Just pray blessing, Lord, on the work of the elders and deacons. And we do pray for the nomination process. Be glorified in that, Lord, as we elect new elders and deacons. But Lord, we come before you as those well aware of our need, well aware of our changing mindsets even, from joy to anxiety to worry to doubt. Lord, might we trust you in all things. And we know there are some pretty heavy things being faced in the church right now. I do ask that you would be with Angie and with her treatments. We do pray for healing for her body. Watch over their family, we pray. Pray for Tim Ropeman's family, Lord, as his father's health ebbs and flows. We ask, Lord, for good health for his father. For Lily, Mike Meyer's niece, Lord, we thank you that her cancer is healing. Give her a full, healthy life, we pray. For Drew Geiser, Lord, we pray healing upon his body. Give him good strength, good encouragement. We thank you for Drew. For Breslin, Lord, we pray healing for her. Thank you for your love for them, Lord, that never fails for Breslin and Drew and all of us here. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Paul and Levon. We pray that you'd be with them in these difficult days. It's been a long battle, Lord, and give them what they need to sustain them in this part of the battle. We thank you, Lord, that Danielle Carringer is doing better. Lord, we've prayed for her, and thank you that her cancer can be dealt with. God, we lift before you Freedom for Youth. We thank you for their work. Thank you that you allow churches to participate, Lord, even if it's financially and through prayer. But we pray you would bless the work you've given them to do. As they shape culture around us by shaping these kids. God, we do pray for our brothers and sisters overseas right now who have been facing persecution, Lord, in ways that I pray we never would know. But might we not turn a blind eye to those that have lost family members and homes and churches, and even this last week, Lord, we pray for the church around the world. Lord, how do they have joy in those circumstances, we wonder, Lord, but you do produce joy even in the face of such difficulty. So we pray, Lord, for the church. We thank you for our nation. We pray for wisdom for our leaders. Pray for the nations of the world, Lord God, might your will be done. Might we see glimpses even now of your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, until that day fully comes when you stand upon the earth and all the nations come to you for counsel. There's no more war, no more cancer, no more grief. And we're almost there. Help us fight the good fight until then, Lord. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I do want to invite you again to the potluck. We don't have Sunday school today because of our fifth Sunday mission emphasis meals. If you don't like the word potluck, we'll call them mission emphasis meals. Join us for that. We're not going to have our prodigal God study tonight, because also tonight we do have our fellowship of meal and dodgeball. I don't know if I'm taking your steam on that. Let's talk about that in a second. Take note of a couple of announcements. Summit Ministries, we made the offer the last couple of years. We had it specifically for high school seniors to offer the program that Summit offers in Tennessee and California, I think in other places around the country. But we've opened up that offer as elders to ages, it's listed 16 to 25. If you're interested, talk to myself or one of the elders. Follow the link in the bulletin if you want more information on Summit Ministries. And the last reminder is, you took an ornament at Christmas, pray for that family. Don't forget to do that. All right.
There we go. Okay. Quick update from the deacons on general fund budget and actual results for the year. So we've been monitoring this for our fiscal year, which is July through June 30. I believe through February, our actual results are a $18,000 loss, which there was a small loss budgeted, but that has grown over the year. Couple reasons. One is facilities. We've had a bunch of expenses there. And then two, we obviously had no church 1 week in February. So if one, you need to catch up for February, or if two, you feel called to give to general fund, I would ask for you to prayerfully consider that. Thanks.
Thank you for everyone who signed up for the shelter dinner. It's the 22nd of April, which is on a Monday. We do have some openings for if you want to serve. It starts at 6, so thank you.
Good morning. As Pastor Mark said, tonight we're going to have dodgeball and dominoes. I'm not sure I'm going to be up for the dodgeball. But if you are, please come join us at 4 o'clock tonight. We're going to get started with that. We'll also have some tables set up for those of us who don't necessarily want to run around and throw things at each other. Some dominoes will be there. They might fall down. They might not. You mentioned falling dominoes earlier. We might have to try that too. Anyway, we're starting at 4 o'clock. Dinner at 5:30. We're going to have some smoked pork and a few other sides to go with that. So if you'd like to join us just for dinner, that's not an option, too, even if you don't bring food, just like this noon. So please consider joining us this evening for a time of fellowship and fun.
Any other announcements before we close? Would you stand for the benediction? So these words written by John in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, is what we're given as we leave today. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sin by his blood, and he's made us a kingdom of priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen.
It is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people. Remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. It is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Heaven reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. For me.